Oh my gosh, I am so incredibly excited for you to just tune into this podcast where Rob Bailey and I talk about trauma, we talk about beliefs, we talk about making money, we talk about all the good things in life and getting through the bad things to have more of the good things. You're going to honestly love this podcast. It is so raw, real, and honest, and Rob and I just pull back the curtains so that you can see people who are succeeding and through the trauma, through the bad stuff, and coming out the other side and living life 100% on our terms. You're going to love this podcast. Tune in. Rob is amazing. He's a dear friend of mine. This one goes deep.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hey, Animus Kapow, Liz Benny back here with an incredible dose of the Happy Millions Show. Today, ladies and gentle people, we have the incredible, amazing Rob Bailey on the line. How are you, my friend?
What's up? How you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You and I have known each other for 50 million thousand years.
Yeah, eons.
Oh, eons, man. This is going to be a great conversation. So for those of you listening and watching, the Happy Millions Show is all about helping people build businesses and lives that they absolutely love, not at the cost of the things that matter most. And today we're going to have a conversation about raw, real, honest happiness, trauma, belief, marriages, anything and everything, because I think the world needs to know a little bit more honest truth. What do you say about that, mister?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of hard to describe how important all the things are because it seems like, you know, that might include too much. But I think what's like probably necessary, especially like in our circle, is more of the holistic truth about what this really looks like and when. Amen. Right. So I'm fully on board with that.
This is incredible. So around like as I've been developing Kapow and going deeper into Kapow, because I think a lot of people think Kapow is just some activated word that means nothing. But like, hey, that chick has a lot of energy and says Kapow a lot. I developed this phrase called life is all about the perfect effing balance. Mm-hmm. And of course, for the people who are a little bit sensitive, they're like, oh, she swore. And I'm like, no. Hold up. I'm not actually swearing. I believe that life is all about the perfect effing balance. Yeah. With faith, with family, with friends, with fortune, with fitness, with, you know, all of the great F words and a couple of other F words, if you mm-hmm. want to add those in as well.
Yeah, we should.
If life is all about the perfect effing balance, what does that mean to you?
You know, I'll first say this. I used to think balance was a bit of like a bullshit term. You know, maybe that's what you're describing other people thinking or saying to themselves. But I think that more what it's like in real life is that it's more of like a pendulum, right? That's swinging. And if there's too many things out of balance in your life for too long, then a lot of bad things start to happen. And the pendulum, either by force or by choice, begins to swing back and tries to find like a natural harmony, so to speak. And there's always periods. It's like the pendulum is never right in the middle all the time. It's constantly swinging. But the average of it, like, so the easiest example I think is burnout. Like everybody's been burned out on something in their life. I think if you're an adult, like at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, my first true burnout was in high school with school. And it felt like so counterproductive for me to continue to do it that I just kind of gave up. Like, and so at a certain point with something, it could be like with sports or in a relationship or whatever, right? You experience burnout, and that's because the pendulum has swung so far in one direction that it feels like in this very way, well, maybe true that your energy and time and emotion and like whatever, like all the things, all the value in your life is being wasted for mm-hmm. some reason. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that what that means is like, I think just growing in self-awareness. Like when you have a good balance in your life, it means you have good self-awareness to understand and identify earlier when that's happening and having a skill set or a toolbox of what to do to bring yourself back more to like homeostasis. Like when we're all human, right? So when we were born, our body has this built into us. Mm-hmm. Like it's in all of our bodily functions and systems. And we think that we're in control because we have a brain and we have the power of choice and everything like that. But that can only get us so far before our body will just start to give up on us, for example, right? Like you can only will yourself to get through burnout so much before your physical system might start shutting down, right? Which is like a true sign that you're experiencing burnout or the pendulum has swung. So when you say that, that's kind of what that means to me. And hopefully as you get older, you get wiser and those swings aren't as drastic or as harmful or as, you know, trauma induced. And so there's more, it's not that things don't happen. It's that you get better at dealing with them is really what I think happens over time. If you're sort of getting better at this thing called life in any way, shape or form.
Dude. Wow. And wow. And wow. Firstly, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for starting to go, like, we're going to go deep in this, like in this conversation. I think people need to know the truth around business and life and depth and character, and burnout is something that we all have experienced in some way, shape or form. Burnout and marriage, burnout and fitness, burnout and business, burnout and spirit, burnout and belief, burnout in like using the same piece of software over and over and over and going, dang, this is boring.
Totally.
Yeah, dude. I have a question because you raised the word trauma. You talked about trauma there. You put a video out into the world a little while ago. And for those of you that don't know you, they might not know that you're highly successful in business. You have a great reputation as a person who has built a multi-7-figure business in the SaaS industry, and you lead people to the quote unquote promised land in what it is that you do. Like, you're phenomenal at what you do. But it wasn't always this way.
No, of course not. Yeah.
And I remember a period of time where I personally was worried about you. I remember like looking at you on, it was back then, it was Skype, I think.
Skype, yeah. Good times.
Yeah, good times over there. They had better emojis than Zoom, but that's okay. and you had these massive rings around your eyes. I was worried about you.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, to what degree do you think trauma tore you down? And to what degree do you think your requirement to heal from your trauma allowed you to thrive now?
Yeah. Well, certainly trauma, getting through trauma builds what I would consider resilience. And I think that, you know, a lot like an athlete gets better the more they're challenged, or a warrior gets more resilient the more times they've seen battle and survived it. That is a positive outcome from trauma. So obviously I'm not one of those people who's like, life is over if you experience trauma. Like, we all have trauma of varying degrees for different reasons. And this is the definition that I choose to use. I'm not a therapist or an expert or anything. I'm just giving you guys my direct experience and the things that I've picked up along the way. But I'm very plain English. I'm not like an intellect or anything like that. I don't study white papers on this stuff or any of that. But one of the best therapists I ever talked to, honestly, there's more bad therapists out there than there are good ones, in my opinion, just from my personal experience. But one of the best ones I ever talked to, like, I was in the middle of downplaying some trauma, and because I wasn't like identifying it. I was just telling her about what happened to my life in different phases of my life. And she was like, every single thing you just listed off is trauma. And I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah, seriously, the definition of trauma is just too much, too soon, or too fast. You know, and if you think about what our, like, if you study the brain at all, like, you know, you're in the neuroscience, your subconscious will write a program that you're not even aware of it happening when it happens, but your subconscious will write a program around that and say, I'm going to protect myself from that next time. And it's not a rational thought. It has nothing to do with logical, you know, thoughtful reasons. It's just, it will write a little program in there. Sometimes it's super strong, and sometimes it's just a little tiny thing that maybe, like, you know, thwarts the next time you're presented with that. So this is something that's in your brain, you know, that you're never going to think of probably again, like, consciously, but that's what happens from the day that we're born until now, is, you know, these protection mechanisms are put in place, and trauma is the biggest writer of those scripts of your subconscious programming you to make decisions. Like, it's a protection mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I understood that, I'm like, oh, okay, it doesn't have to be this giant Armageddon like world is ending thing. I mean, it can be,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, I've dealt with a lot of change in my life. And for most people, that would be considered like a lot of trauma. I've dealt with some heavy loss in my life, some of the people in my life, one being my father. You know, when I was 25 years old, I just woke up one day and he was in this terrible accident. And that was traumatic. And then some things happened with my family after that. And that was, you know, there was all these things. And when you add them all up, like as that therapist walked me through all these things, she's like, this kind of makes sense now, right? You know, and she just kind of like was the first person to articulate that to me. And she's like, yeah, so like imagine like a little program or a little marker was in there and that's in your subconscious. And she's like, this, all this stuff stacked up and it's in there, you know? And it's not like a comparative thing. It's like everybody's got some degree of trauma or whatever, but you know, she's like, I talk with a lot of people and like, this is a lot. It's not a minimal amount. It's not an insignificant amount, put it that way. Right. So I'm paraphrasing a lot of this just to quickly move through this part of the question, but the trauma, that you have, as these programs get written and written and written, if too many of them pile up, then you're just basically living in fear for the rest of your life if you don't address it. And for me, in my specific situation, I was just taught from a very young age to deal with things on my own, largely sweep things under the rug. You know, I was dealing with it in a very masculine way, typical macho guy way. Like, that doesn't hurt me. I'm never going to talk about it. I'm never going to let anybody show my weakness about it. And like a lot of men, when I did share the little bits that I did about it, people usually kicked me in the nuts emotionally about it. They were like, wow, that must really fucking suck. Hey, you want a beer? And let me talk about myself for 20 hours now. And it's like, you know, so of course I'm not going to share that again with somebody. Right. And in my mind, I was like, I would never expect anybody to sit there and listen. But the bad part of that part, so like, yeah, I built resilience being like, okay, like have the resilience to do this and still get up every day and be productive and try to build a business and try to be a good dad and good husband and those things, right? And so that was the good part, like the perseverance part. But the bad part was that that stuff kept stacking and stacking and stacking and stacking. And then one day I just kind of woke up and I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I do not feel human. I feel subhuman is the way it felt, right? Meaning it's like, dude, I'm having these weird thoughts and I feel depressed and I can't really tell anybody why. Like, we're having babies, my business is growing, you know, at this time in my life, and I'm still fucking miserable, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, what, how can that be? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the tools, the education, the know-how to navigate any of that. And so like, when you met me, I was like, there was the analogy is like, I was like a pressure cooker and the top was about to just pop off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you and I first like really connected and talked. Is that the moment in time you were asking about? I just want to make sure. That's the most memorable moment, I think.
So yeah, around that period of time, I noticed it going. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when all that buildup was happening and I had no idea. I had no coping mechanism. Didn't know what was going on, didn't know how to address it. I was really sort of like unaware, mostly just walking around unaware, sort of, and just trying to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Totally. So what I hear from that is that from a societal perspective, as certainly as a dude, it was hard to get the support that you personally needed. And also you didn't have the tools in your belt. Because A, you weren't taught, and B, societally speaking, you weren't supposed to ask for help. But yet you had this internal drive, of course, to get your family together, start creating a family, and also being the provider of your family. So that must have been a dude, like so much pressure. And I remember seeing a video from you probably around a year ago, and it talked about balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it talked about tripping balls. So you went on a bit of a, you went on a bit of a trip, and you've got, like, I know that psychedelics are certainly something that are becoming a lot more mainstream. I did a conversation, had a conversation with Nicholas Kuzmich.
Yes.
Last year, where we were talking about 5-MeO and, you know, what he's able to assist people with what he does. And certainly with Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop talking about, you know, lots of different things in terms of how psychedelics and mushrooms are assisting people through trauma. You've had your own journey through that.
Yep.
What's the weirdest comment that anyone has said to you after you went on your release journey?
Oof, the weirdest comment? Well, I think the weirdest question was like, hey, did you see aliens? Which some people do. And I was like, no, not this time. But I like fully expected that I might, you know? And some people like legit do. And it depends on the type. So like on the one you described, I've heard that's much more common. It's like an astral out of body experience.
Mm-hmm.
I went to in a clinical setting, I did a round of ibogaine. Ibogaine is from the iboga plant. It's plant medicine. It's a West African shrub. It's like a little tree they grow in the desert, and that grows these little like seed pods that look like almost like small mangoes from the tree. And in the roots and in the fruit and the leaves of that, they derive the alkaloid from that. And that's the plant medicine part of it. So in a clinical setting, I flew to Mexico and was there for 9 days and did what's called a flood dose on the third day. And the flood dose is the highest psychedelic experience portion of it. It's also the most introspective. There's two phases that you go through within about a 10 to 12 hour period. First one is where all the tripping major ball sack stuff happens, which is what, you know, it's funny because people's impression of psychedelics wildly variable, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are like, oh, that's a drug, you should be thrown in jail. Other people are like, there's nothing wrong with that, and I see all the benefits from it, etc. Ibogaine literally has no recreational use or application whatsoever. Like, it's not something that you would like pop for fun ever. Mm-hmm. It's crazy introspective. It's a little scary, in fact. Yeah. Like a lot of people go into it very, very nervous about what they're about to experience and see. And the reason for that is because you can't get away from yourself, right? What happens is you take the medicine and like 20 to 30 minutes in, you start seeing things that are all coming from, it's like a hard drive dump from your subconscious. And so you're seeing what they describe as like the reels of your life. So you're just seeing graphic imagery when you close your eyes of all these things that your memory is recalling. And you even see things that have nothing to do with your memory. I saw plenty of stuff that I didn't even recognize. I'm like, I don't know what that is or who that is, or, and so it's very, very, but this is the key, is that you're not on an astral plane experience. You're inside your own head. Mm. You still have your consciousness. You can open your eyes anytime. You know where you are. And so it's very real, right? Some of the other psychedelics, you feel like you're having an out-of-body experience, like you're flying through space and you're seeing aliens and meeting them and stuff like that. This is way more like I'm seeing a recap of my, like if you ever saw the movie Big Fish, at the end where he's having sort of like all these flashbacks from the different people and all the stories he was telling from his life, kind of felt like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Just so for context, because I want people to understand, you reached a point in your life where things, like things weren't working for you.
Yeah. So are you asking? And, yeah. So what led me to even want to go do that? Great question. So I was waking up every day, and first of all, I started self-medicating with alcohol, which is not an uncommon story.
Have you had any alcohol since Mexico?
No, not a drop. It's wild. So a lot of people take ibogaine because the clinical application of ibogaine is it clears all your receptors. So people who are hooked on opioids or other drugs, including alcohol, will go down there, do a round of treatment, and they'll immediately be off detox. They will have no cravings. Your receptors are fully cleared, and they've got like a really high success rate for getting off of hard drugs and opioids and things like that. So I kind of joke about this, but it's the truth. I was hanging out with a bunch of addicts for 10 days down there. And they welcomed me with open arms, but it was a little bit like, dude, what are you doing down here? And so I was like, well, it's more of like the PTSD and trauma front, I think. But I was also abusing alcohol and didn't really understand why most of this was happening. And
I have a
so,
question before you go into that, because I really want you to go into this. And
sure.
because I'm looking at the byproduct of you going down there and you finding yourself in a different way, actually not finding yourself, you freeing yourself is probably what I would say the better way of saying this. How has your relationship with your wife transformed as a result of you going down there?
Well, certainly it's like saved our marriage. I mean, the whole stimulus for this was she was like, dude, you got to do something about this or else like I'm not going to do this anymore, basically, or at least for not for very long. And
So
if
you
you've
had
ever,
the ultimatum.
I mean, it wasn't like she knew that I was like telling her like, I don't know what's going on, but I know there's problems in our relationship and that I have problems and I don't know where they're coming from, but like she was just like, dude, you're angry out of nowhere for no reason. And that was like a common thing. I would just come home angry and I was in physical and mental pain and I didn't know why. Like I had a
Where was your
very,
physical pain? What
it
type of
was all
physical
over.
pain?
It was really weird, Liz. Like I have, so this was the other part about all this that I didn't understand previously, but some people manifest their trauma physically. And I definitely was feeling that. Like it
You
felt
mean?
like I would sit up out of bed and my whole body would hurt. And I'd just be like, what the fuck? Sorry for the F-bombs, but that's what it felt like. I was
I don't
like,
care.
what
You
is
can
going
say whatever
on?
you want. This.
Yeah. And then half the day I'd be like, well, if I just have a drink or two, then I'll feel better. And then I got my tolerance built up. And so it was like more and more alcohol to have the same effect of the self-medication. And alcohol
How much
works
were you
great, by the
drinking?
way.
Like a six pack a day?
It just kind of depended. And like, I don't really feel like I wasn't waking up in the gutter or anything, put it that way. But I was a very functional person who drank some every day. Like it could be the equivalent of six drinks, eight drinks some days. Some days I wouldn't have anything. But a glass or two of wine or a couple of beers or something wasn't, at the end there, I wasn't feeling that at all.
I'll tell you
There was no.
what, part of the reason why I ask is that around a year ago, my wife Christy is coming up to her soberversary, her first year
Yeah,
sober.
let's go.
And the transformation of our marriage and what that's meant for our marriage and our connection and the level of drama,
Yeah.
the number of visits to hospital. Then, like the manifest, like it's just completely shifted. Now, she didn't go down to Mexico and trip balls like you did.
She's missing out,
But
man. I'm telling you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
it's phenomenal. Like she's walked her own path with, and a lot of it is the subconscious and superconscious. She's done TRTP. We've both done TRTP, which is a trauma release therapy process, which has just been truly transformational for us
Wow.
individually and our marriage.
Yeah.
And we're doing other things literally regularly right now, because we know the power of the subconscious mind, and it's like combing out all, like, I mean, you do your hair. Well, you don't do your hair on a daily basis, but
You had to
it's so
say
funny,
it,
dude.
Liz.
Literally after this interview, I have, I was looking at you just before. I was like, oh my gosh, my next person on the show is quite literally bald as well. I was like,
Yeah.
what is it?
That's it. I'm out of here, guys. Offended. Hashtag offended. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry, I didn't think that you'd, if
No.
that get, I mean, in this day and age, I'm actually of the team, like, what can I say that I shouldn't say that might offend people because it will be funny? That's actually kind of the
Yeah.
bandwagon I'm on now.
I love it. It's
So anyway, like you've gone down there, you were kind of a functional non-alcoholic, but using alcohol. You've gone down there. Life wasn't what you wanted it to be before going down.
Right. So
What?
what, like, I think for anyone who's ever been like, felt a little lost, Like, just like, geez, I don't like, why am I even doing a lot of this stuff anymore? Or depressed or have anxiety. Maybe, you've had it for a long time, or maybe you just had seasons of that in your life, right? It felt like that, but amplified, right? And so I wasn't sleeping well. The alcohol made me sleep even worse. Doing things that I usually naturally enjoy, like, were not enjoyable anymore. Being around my kids was great, but didn't feel the same anymore. Like, it just felt like kind of drab. Like, I was in the dumpster, like, mentally. And so, and I, again, this was subtle over years. There was nothing that, like, I mean, recently my life's been great, right? So this is hard to explain to people. They're like, well, what was really like, I have three beautiful kids, they're all healthy and happy. My wife is great. I'm still attracted to my wife. It's like, so we, it, like, I have everything. Like, I'm making great money now. It's like, I have everything, right? So why am I feeling this way? It sounds like, I've obviously never had postpartum, but it kind of sounded like similar symptoms to that. But it was very physical for me. Like, I was just like, it was all storing up in my body, like in my sort of in my spinal region and my muscles and bones and my joints just all felt like, at times like they were sort of on fire. And it was a, but it was like not terrible enough to be like, I need to go to the hospital. It was just like some days it was subtle and some days it was way worse, and sometimes it things would trigger it, and other days it was kind of fine. But when I found out when I went down to Mexico was, they had some healers there, and I was in therapy a lot of the day when I wasn't tripping major ball sack, but did more therapy in 10 days than I ever have in my life, right? Mental therapy, counseling, and I really started to understand what like a holistic view of what this trauma was doing to me in those therapy sessions. So that was part of it. That was the part, like the non-experiential part of it. But during my trip, my legs were like the guy. So you're in like a hospital room with doctors and nurses, and they're watching, they're monitoring you, right? This is a clinical setting. And so they give you the dose, and they've got like a blood pressure thing on, and they're monitoring your heart, and like, you're hooked up to an IV to keep you hydrated and stuff. And the guy next to me is, and they keep the room freezing cold, by the way. He's under the covers, all bundled up. He's having a great experience, like he's enjoying a good dream. My fucking ass was sweating balls. My legs were kicking constantly. I was gripping onto the sides. It was like a war going on in my head. It was very physical, right? And the war inside my head was not like a movie scene war. It was just the volume of things coming that I was seeing was just unbelievable. It was just profound, right? And I was seeing things that I remembered and that I didn't remember, and there was like things that like things from an era that I have not been alive in that I didn't recognize, right? And so I'm going through all this, and there's like a person taking notes, and I'm sweating like crazy. The covers are kicked off, and at a certain point, I have to go to the bathroom. He's helping me up, and my limbs are shaking. You get like the shakes, right, from it, which is a normal response. But I'm having this very physical, visceral reaction to it, which they told me was, possible, and that some people just have. But compared to the guy next to me, who was like, it was like a, he was having a nice day out. My experience was just totally ridiculous. And I'm like a pretty big guy. I'm like 6'4", 230. So I've got my arms around these two dudes. I'm sweating all over them. I'm trying not to piss and shit myself, and my feet are not working, and my feet are sweating, so they're sliding along the floor, and I'm just going like, what is going on? And afterwards too, they had to help me to the room because like all my muscles were fatigued, and I just couldn't walk straight on my own. Plus I was like high as a kite still. So like, It was a very, very physical event for me. And they were like, yeah, that was like on the physical end of the spectrum for sure. So after that, like the next day or two, I'm, in more therapy, and they're explaining to me that some people store this trauma physically, and some don't, and it's just a difference person to person. The other thing I learned was like generational trauma is a thing. They're like, it's not uncommon for people to see their ancestors during their trip. They're like, did you see any ancestors? And I'm like, not that I know of, but there was plenty of people in there. I didn't know who was who. I come from a military family, and I saw a lot of things around war, a lot of war maps, like maps of topographical areas and stuff, like in vivid, vivid detail. It's crazy. Like a CIA file or something from the back
Dude,
in the
I'm
day.
getting goosebumps right
It's
now with
weird.
son.
It's so
Whew.
weird. And so like I never considered that prior to this guy. Like this was all just like I had no idea this kind of thing was even possible. So my mind was just like my conscious part of my mind was just like, so you tell me that's a thing? And you start sharing stories with some of the other people about their experience, and some people are seeing, tribesmen and stuff and faraway places and things. That none of that happened to me, but like several other people were talking about, generational trauma, and that's a thing. And so, I'm just sitting there trying to be as open and with as much intention to heal as possible. And it's still hard to even unpack, like trying to describe it to you is very difficult for me because I'm not like the greatest articulate person on the planet, but it's extremely like eye-opening and profound, and you get this sense of like relief. Like the minute this started happening, I felt like the pressure valve was released, and all of that weight that I'd been carrying around for 44 years at the time was just lifted off my shoulders. Right.
You
It
know,
was.
it's really interesting because how you show up, and by the way, I think you're very articulate. You just are articulate in how you are articulate. Like, it's really interesting speaking with you now. It quite literally feels as if the weight has come off your shoulders, and you are the manner in which you conduct yourself in business is much more. It's almost borderline blasé. To be
I mean, business seems so silly after doing something. You're like,
that. So can I, like, on that note, I quite literally want to share something with you, because I'd love your take on this, because I think the world, as in the entrepreneurial world, a lot of people are taking themselves way too freaking seriously. And I think that people don't really give themselves license to show up as, and I'm not going to say authentic selves because that is like way cliche, but I mean just show up as like them and their power aligned, like speaking their truth unapologetically. And in this day and age where we've jumped into this hypersensitive, like, and I'm a highly sensitive being, like, look at HSP. Like the definition of HSP, that is me. Like my face needs to be there as the definition of that, which is great, but it's also not great. With that said, one of my all-time favorite clients, like a person that I adore working with, came into my world because on a podcast where I was being interviewed by Jeff Lerner, who'd done gajillions of dollars and like created a really cool community. And he said to me, "Liz, I just want to play. You show me how to play." And then all of a sudden I just jumped into like playful mode. I was being a kid and I had Play-Doh in my office. And he was like, what's going on? And like, and he was like, he wanted to play. His life was so serious. He just wanted to play. And I was like, oh, dang it. This is like my brain went. I didn't even know why, but I looked at the Play-Doh and I'm like, for some reason, I was playing as if I was a little, I was just a little kid. And I was like, Play-Doh. I was like, ha. Like, what would be the funniest thing to make with Play-Doh? What would be the funniest thing to make with Play-Doh? What would be the stupidest, funniest thing to make with, you're a guy. Come on, come on, come on now.
I mean, a wiener would be pretty funny.
There we
So,
go. There we
hey,
go.
there it is, the twig and berries.
I mean, why not? Yeah, why leave it with just a wiener when you, I mean, it's a little, I mean, sorry, like wait a minute. We'll just do some,
If we
anyway.
didn't offend anybody, I know someone's
Now's
going to
the
be like,
time, okay?
why did you make my junk, Liz? Why are you showing me the world my junk? That's so
So
funny.
it's a little Trump-like if it's yours. Anyway, whatever. So, long story short, is that on a podcast, I literally did that live on the podcast. It was one of their favorite podcasts ever. People were like just genuinely laughing. And one of my clients who came in, she quite literally heard that podcast. She was like, whatever that person is, whatever that person's on, I want some of that. And I would hazard a guess that now that you're displaying this, because this person went to my website, bought my like fire sale offer, applied for my coaching, then the next day sent $25,000. I was like easiest,
Totally.
most fun person to work with ever.
Yeah, I think I know where you're headed with this, so tell me if, but
Go
my
for it.
immediate, without even asking the question, I think that what's happening nowadays is it's so easy to adopt somebody else's identity,
That.
and it's so much easier to do that than really sit down and think about, if no expectations were of me, who would I be? Because that's a much harder question to answer, right? And we, knowingly or not, we make tons of decisions every day based off of expectations. So I'm someone who likes to challenge that just naturally out of the box. So I am on this journey of trying to be myself while also being, this good husband, this good father sort of thing. But even then, like I find myself putting expectations on myself that are created out of thin air because I think that that's what people expect of me, which is ludicrous when you say it out loud, right? So the thing, but in business, it's even better to me because like the cool thing is like when someone loves you, they love you for reasons that are not, are harder to explain than you just like no one's gonna not love you who already loves you because you made a penis. Like that's not gonna happen, right? But in business, someone might. They might be like, I'm not going with Liz Benny, the penis maker, on the
I don't want them in
podcast.
my world.
Yeah. So but this is great, right? So the more this is what happens is in this, that's the good side of this day and age, is the more that you can figure out how to be yourself and make it equally as repellent as attractive. And there's some people who are really good at this. Like they're intentionally polarizing for this reason. The easier it is to attract your ideal clients, which are the people that you want more of anyways. You don't want the rest of that batch. That's the hardest thing, is like all the people that you're dancing around for or, doing things because you feel like there's an expectation of you for. Those are usually the shittiest people to work with because of
That.
all these other reasons that have nothing to do with you, anyhow. So,
And you have a vanilla business. Everything will be boring. You have
yeah.
vanilla clients. There'll be no joy when it comes to
Totally.
that. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
So
So
I'll give you a
within our
quick
ultimate,
example.
you go
Well,
for it.
this is the fucked part of it, is that like I made an I went on my friend's YouTube channel and talked about the Ibogaine experience, which I think is the video that you saw. And I talked for like 2 hours on that thing about like deeply personal things that could really I thought could really help people. And a handful of people reached out and told me that, like one lady said it saved her life because she went in and went down and got Ibogaine and just had a great experience. But a handful of other people said, thank you, that really helped because similar situation, whatever the case. That has like the lowest amount of views on my YouTube channel. And there's all these business videos that are, obviously I'm like catering to people's self-interest on those and delivering value with the, hopefully they'll then want to work with me. But that, if you were looking for a false positive, that's it. It's like, okay, YouTube views, people don't care about the most important stuff. People don't care about the authentic me. That's the mind F part of it. Is that, and you have to realize that that is not how it works, right? Like, in that context, the likes are a false positive, and the closer that you can get to being the real you, and the more that you can attract people for the things that make you you, the easier that business will become, and the more
And life.
abundance, yeah, in life, yeah, in your personal relationships too. But there's friends that I can call up right now who have seen me at my worst, at some of the lowest points in my life, and they'll pick up the phone and be like, like it was yesterday. They're just still there for me because they know that when you shed all the stuff, like this is my core and this is who I am.
Yeah.
And they love that part of me, right?
Yep. Yep.
They'll never forget that. Like, we'll always be friends for the rest of our lives because of that. We understand that about each other, right? So that's the mind F. It's so
I love that you're talking about the false positive, because like I've been walking down this pathway long enough myself too, and I've tested content in the market. And it's really interesting that when I post certain types of things, there is very little response sometimes. Like if I'm raw, like a certain type of raw, real and honest, there is no like likes, there's no comment. But I do know that it serves people. But then when I'm like inspirational and the activator, which is what I feel like I'm called to, like I activate people, but then behind the activation is a depth that you get post activation, if that makes sense. So it's really interesting because I had to tell myself that just because that one wasn't responded to in a certain way didn't mean that I was any less of a being or, oh, like I shouldn't do that, because you know, like I read a book, something about like divorceless relationships, I think it was called. And it's not actually about like marriage divorce per se, but it's more of like people are walking around having cut parts off of themselves so as to fit into a life that is much smaller than is possible for them, just to fit into this tiny little mini of a life. Whereas like they want like what's capable, what they're capable of and what's possible for them is a life of incredible joy with truth and honesty. And I think, Rob, like I see how you show up in the world now, and there's this power that you have now, this unapologeticness that you have now. There was a reserved version of it before, but now there's this, it's almost like the manner in which you carry yourself has shifted and changed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I still feel like that's a muscle I need to work on.
Yeah, totally.
Even further is like, how do I really lean into that now? Right.
Yeah.
Because there's days where I want to say a lot and I just feel like I don't want to, or I have negative thoughts about what will come of it. You know,
like what, like if you speak,
like
your
what
truth,
you just described, like, I speak the truth. People are like, who cares? I don't really resonate with this content or with this part of you that you're sharing online, open and free to the world. And that's like a thing. So one, this is the other crazy thing that in my 9 or 10 days of therapy, we talked about was, you know, there was a lady down there who was a healer, and particular facility is in Cancun, and the Mayan people are, I didn't know this before I went down there, but they're known for their healing community. It's a like healers are a big part of their culture down there, like homeopathic and holistic healing. So it's a little on the woo-woo side compared to Western medicine, but a lot of it, after leaving, I got a lot out of the things that they did and said, and it worked for me, you know, like, so, you know, I was pushing the edge of like, that sounds woo. One of the things being the inner child, like in the Western culture, you know, if you're a man and you talk about your inner child, oh my God, get ready for, you know, the emasculating comments from men and women. Right. And usually in a therapy setting, a man is being emasculated by the therapist about, you know, there's a lot of topics, but one of them being things are your fault. And the thing that I learned, like in Spanish, it sounds different for some reason. So they talk about this concept differently. Or at least the minds that I was with did. And their translation of it is more like, you, when you think of your inner child, the child that's in there, you're talking about your spirit. like as if they're like, yeah, you have kids, so you get this. You know how like if you're yelling at your kid, you feel terrible afterwards? Like your
Well,
child,
no, but
your
yeah.
real child. Yeah. Like, yeah, I feel awful when I do that. They're like, that's what you're doing to yourself, but it's inside your head. Right.
By the way, for those listening, who might be like, well, because what Rob just said was, you know how when you're yelling at your kid and you feel terrible afterwards, and I said no, just for clarity, what I mean by that is I actually don't yell at my kids. I've got stepkids, so that's what I meant by no. Just in case someone
Yeah.
was like, wait, Liz, you like it? You like yelling? No.
Right.
I just,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
not part of how I show up in as
Sure.
a parent.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a broken human and I have yelled at my kids, you know, sue me, but
By the
I've
way,
done
I'm
that
broken too.
twice.
It's just that that's
Yeah.
not one of my
No,
modus
I
operandis.
understand. No, I know. But I'm not afraid to say that. You know, like, you know, my kids are fantastic and we have the same challenges as every parent has, but I have raised my voice at times. My parents were a little bit old in many ways, but so my like, or let's say that you say something to your, if you've never yelled at your kid, you said something and it, you know that it hurt them, put it that way, right? I think every parent's done that maybe.
Yep, definitely. Yep.
So you know, like we spent a lot of time talking about that because one of the things that happened in the Ibogaine treatment is the little voice inside your head shuts off. So that thing that keeps beating you, like if you ever have negative thoughts and you feel like, you know, you're listening to that voice inside your head and, you know, I don't know why I said that. It's the little voice inside your head that said that. It usually comes from your subconscious for reasons that we described before, right? And so when you're having negative self-thoughts, that's you talking to your inner child, and your inner child is going like, fuck this noise, right? Like it's a protection, that's the protection mechanism part, is your human brain is going, I'm a kid and I'm doing this to try and protect myself, right? So you know, when that part gets so bad that you like it just feels like you don't know what to do next. As an adult, that's when, you know, problems start happening. So anger issues, you know, behavioral issues, abuse, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, whatever, right? So for me, I was down there and I had this experience where I was like, wow, the voice in my head was shut off. I felt like the shoulders, you know, the load was lightened big time. I had a profound experience where I feel like I immediately knew my own self-worth because that voice got shut off. It was so much noise, so much negative self-talk. My receptors got cleansed. My subconscious got a like a defrag, right? It was like the hard drive got reset. And so like the next day you literally feel like a different person. And you feel like you finally know who you are again, right? And that's the playful side that you described, right? Spiritually, you know, these folks believe that you can nurture that side of yourself, and in a holistic fashion, it can be through physical therapy, so like things like exercise, massage. You know, you can channel certain energies through like sound therapy and smells, things like that. So there were some things, some exercise, breathing exercises is another one. Like if you've ever heard of Wim Hof, right? But there's all these things that I did where I feel like I'm just a different person. Like it was kind of hard coming back to this matrix that we call life and being like, dude, where do I fit into this thing now? You
So
know,
my
because
question to you with that is, because I've done my fair share of, oh, excuse me. Sorry, I just need to clean my throat there. I've done my fair share of like integration and like woo-woo stuff, like everything that you're talking about. Like this is my home turf. Like I love it because, you know, there is a depth of our very being that if we deny it, we get sick, in my opinion. So the denial of self is one of, in my opinion, one of the biggest diseases. because we're cutting off our connection to our core. We're cutting off our connection to God, whatever that means to you, and whatever definition, because you can treat it as source, as spirit, God, universe, like whatever it is. And that big, like, I listen to what you're saying, and I'm filtering this through the lens of you reconnected.
Yeah.
And that is quite literally like the start of Kapow. Like the K of Kapow starts with, like, I make the K mean connection. And you might go, well, Liz, duh, you're a dumbass. It's spelled with a C, you dipshit. And I'm like, I know. And in and of that, like what you actually need to do from a societal perspective is break rules. Yeah. Because the rules that we are playing, especially as entrepreneurs, don't work for us. Mm-hmm. So you also have like, broken rules and reconnected, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so this is, again, this is why it's like, in order to shed your identity like that, like what I just did in like 10 days down there, what might take someone 10 years in therapy if you have a good therapist.
Yep.
Like, to shed an old identity and stop telling yourself negative stories about yourself in your head. It's like crazy fucking difficult. Like, I don't know.
How much was it? What did you invest financially to go down?
I forget the exact amount, but it was something like $10,000 or $11,000 for 10 days, all inclusive. So I just had to fly down there.
Yeah. To get your life back.
Yeah. So these people are, I can't, I'm just going to tell you the name of it, because this particular place is fantastic. It's called Beyond, B-E-O-N-D is the way you spell it. It's the name of the facility. And they have clinicians, researchers, doctors, therapists. It's the whole thing. They have a very holistic approach to doing it. In fact, you can't just go down there and like do this in one night and then get on a plane to go home. This is the complete opposite, by the way. Like, so let me just give you a quick story. When my wife was like, hey, you need to do something about this, she's like, look at rehabs around town. And I called all my friends who were addicts and alcoholics or previously. And I said, hey, what is that like? Does it really help? Does it really solve the problem? I've tried therapy. I've had a terrible experience. They're like, no, skip all that shit. Like every single one of them said that. And of the ones that have recovered without that, they were like, dude, it was brutal. And B, I don't even know how I did. It took years for me to get done what you can get done now with treatments like this, right? Psychedelics in a clinical setting can change your life super fast in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to talk about solving the problem. I wanted to find the root cause of the problem. That was the difference.
That.
And so although it took me a little longer, and my wife honestly thought, I think she thought I was punting this problem down, but I couldn't find a single solution in the United States that seemed like it would actually help the root cause. So I was like, I'm going to hold out until I feel like I find that. So glad I did, because this place, yes, the plant medicine had a lot to do with it, but everything around it made the experience and the healing and everything else like complete.
But the environment assisted the transformation is what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. And the therapists were excellent. Like I swear to God, I feel like I've had a lifetime of therapy in 10 days. Mm. It was just incredible. And so like practical and applicable. And I left with tools on how to do things.
Yeah.
Like how to deal with things moving
Can
forward.
Can I ask you a question that might be, others might be kind of asking right now, that they might be going, yeah, cool. Okay. Well, I wouldn't consider myself an alcoholic, got a, you know, an okay relationship. I don't really need this, but I'm kind of interested in this now. And even if it's not what you do, what you chose to do, but certainly delving into the superconscious or subconscious mind as a portal for remembering yourself and returning to yourself.
Yeah.
So my question there is to the left brained, the person who is in their left brain, egotistical, kind of gets that there's stuff that they need to like peel back and get to the core of.
Yeah.
And kind of needs the kick and can be hooked with money. Mm-hmm. What has the financial benefit to you been from you going down? Has your bank account increased? Has the hours that you work decreased? Has your stress decrease? Like, what is, do you have more ease and flow? Like, what is the business benefit that you have experienced, if any?
Yeah. Well, entrepreneurs are in the business of performance. Right. So it shouldn't shock anyone that increasing your performance from a human metabolic neurological standpoint will increase your performance with work. You'll make better decisions. You'll work more efficiently. You'll operate from a higher place of consciousness, if you want to call that, right? Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't sound crazy to anyone, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's like if you are constantly hungover at work, you know, you're going to make more mistakes. You're going to be mm-hmm. more sluggish. You're not going to get as much done in a shorter period of time. It's like that, but the other direction. Like, it kind of mm-hmm. feels like I have a superpower now to a degree.
Yep.
But specifically, I work less. I make more. I actually made a really tough decision. I let my last two employees go who've been with me for years. It was a mutual decision. I talked with them about it. I just cut them loose, really. But it was more like we had a good run, but I think it's time to move on. If you guys feel the same way, let's put you in a better situation than you are here. That was kind of like the conversation. And they're both doing better already, immediately. Like, and that makes me feel good, honestly. Because I think that time period was operating in a place of capacity, if you want to call it that, or frequency, if you will. And I needed time and space to, so like I just told you before we got on this podcast, I'm like getting ready to tear my whole office down. I'm taking most of these things behind me out, taking all my books out, taking these big shelves behind me out. And I'm going with like the big minimalistic vibe. And I'm doing that with every area of my business. So fewer people, fewer obligations, fewer clients, fewer things, just all around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intentionally pruning and making space for this new energy, frequency, and version of me to operate at a different level. And so all those things have already happened. I'm already making more, taking more home. And there's already more margin in my days just to think and play. So mm-hmm. to your point, mm-hmm. And if I don't make that, I just won't do it, right? Like I won't play. I will tell myself that I have to work unless I create time and space for myself to play and tell myself it's all right. And the thing that I have to think about now is, hey, when I drop my kids off at school or my wife drops our kids off at school, they're loving on the whole child. They're not just caring about their tests, right? They care about do the kids have a good experience with their friends in class? Do they get a snack? Do they get recess and play outside when the weather permits? Do they learn music? Do they learn other languages? Do they get to draw and paint and make art? Right? Like that's a full day. And then afterwards they have after school activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it that we are jailing ourselves by saying, no, we need to work 8 or 10 hour days as entrepreneurs to get this shit done? And you have to be miserable in order to be rich, and being rich is worth it. Like, who fucking wrote that rule? That's so stupid. You know, it's ridiculous.
Wow. I just want to jump onto this one super quickly because I freaking love what you are talking about, because the subconscious brain has so much to do with how we are wired. Like, I must do X and before I can feel Y, which is the whole thing of I'll be happy when. Dude, I remember being dirt poor. Yeah,
that's.
I remember being dirt poor and being happy. Like, being like, fuck that. That is not how I want to eat, breathe, and sleep. But then I was like, yeah, but I want a shit ton of money as well. And then finding, like, walking through that world of going, yes, and not have them be the opposites. But it's really interesting that you're having this conversation right now, because I remember like 5 years ago feeling so peaceful and happy on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And being like, I get this day off. Nobody can expect me to do anything because it's Christmas Day. And then I felt into that. It was amazing. And then it suddenly dawned on me that I was giving myself permission on one day of the year.
Yeah.
Just one. Like, not even, like, I wasn't even allowing myself at that point in time to give myself Sundays.
Yeah.
let alone Saturdays, to just get that fun, that play, that joy. I remember going, hold the phone. If I can feel this on a day that I call Christmas and I'm making Christmas mean certain things, and I wasn't even like massively hanging out with my family, that was just my wife and the kids.
Yeah.
And actually, her ex-husband was around as well. So if I can feel that joy on that day, can't I fool my mind? And then I tried. I was like, on a Monday, one day, I was like, I'm just going to pretend this is Christmas Day. Oh my gosh, I can feel the joy, and I connected to the joy, and made Monday feel like Christmas Day. And I was like, so if I can do that, what else can I do? Because
Yeah.
I've found myself stuck in this idea, and I'm still to this day working through this one personally,
Yeah.
because my brain sometimes likes to tell me I am a worthless piece of crap if I'm not working on Monday morning at 9 until 5. Now, I've never really even done the 9 to 5,
Yeah.
but my brain goes, how dare I not be on in that period of time sometimes?
And think about
And
how cruel that is to say to a child. No one would ever,
exactly.
no, that would, you'd be taken to jail if you actually made your child do that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right? Like,
So Christy and I were having a conversation yesterday about, like, we make a shit ton more money when we play more,
yeah.
period. When we lock ourselves, and we've just moved home, and we're like, we've quite literally building a different foundation in our life that we had. So we've actually been doing foundational stuff, but it's reached that precipice of change for us right now, where it's like, hey, no, we need to go now. Like, we need to travel more, we need to go more, we need to be, because we're not these people that go, oh, look at us in our home on social media. But for people to be able to see me on social, I quite literally have to be out traveling, on a plane, going somewhere. Look at this, I've walked up this hill, and you can't do that if you're stuck in a 9 to 5 mentality. So I think
And
there's a time, there's a season for foundational, but you've got to get out of that foundational. And by the way, I love the fact that you're going through minimalism right now. Oh, welcome to the peace of nothingness, because we got rid of so much stuff and we weren't even hoarders. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The stoicism of having a simple business with like lots of space and time to do the like to cover the different areas of your life.
Yeah. The parts that you've been ignoring.
Yeah. That part of it I'm like super looking forward to because I didn't even like say this to myself in the past. What is it? It's been 7 months since I got back from Cancun, right? Like I didn't say this to myself, but just naturally as a byproduct of the process that I went through down there, I came back and I was like, I'm too tired to work on weekends. I'm not gonna really address it. And I've worked here and there, but as a rule, I used to always do stuff on the weekends. Like when there was downtime and the kids were ignoring me, like playing or with their friends outside or whatever, I'd be like, oh, let me hop on my laptop and do something. But like, it really, if you make a list of all the things that are actually important that actually make the needle move in your business, there's not that many things. There really isn't. And so I just like made a giant list of those things and started crossing things off. And like, I'm like, okay, give myself a month with this, right? Same thing with the closet. It's like, I feel like I should have half the amount of clothes. So I put all the stuff in my closet into a garbage bag and set it aside for a month. And if I miss the item, then I pull it back out. And if I don't, then I just donate the whole bag and I don't open the thing, right? So I did this with our business too. I just made a list, like I printed out all of our costs and expenses, and I made a list of all the things that we were doing. And I was like, what if I cut all this stuff? Like, what is my thesis about what will happen then? Well, I think I might miss this, but I'm not sure. So I'm gonna cut it, see what happens. Well, this doesn't really have anything directly to do with, the actual goal. So let's cut that, and you would be shocked at how many things do not directly add to the bottom line or your schedule being free or, bringing more happiness or abundance, like in money to your life. Like, I mean, if anything, I've been able to attract more people who pay me for what I've already got sitting around and working because I've had the time and space to be like, hey, I'm recognizing that now. And and I'm
Your
allowing it to happen
self-worth has
or
shot
nurturing
up.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff, like before, I would have been like busy for a week before I could even come up for air and even address that.
Yep.
Right.
And
So,
again, there's a time for building. So for those people who are not quite at the stage where you've got the thing built, or you've been built enough, like internal resources or external, maybe you don't have the track record yet, but there are so many people right now that could quite literally, as you say, get rid of half of their business. I've shut down half of my business before, and then in that year alone gone, holy crap, look at what actually happened as the byproduct of that.
For sure.
That's amazing.
I'm clearing out all these books because to be honest with you, I haven't read most of them, and they look good on the shelf, but it gives me, like, I have thoughts around those books. I'm like, why haven't I read, like, I beat myself up about not having read them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not even in a phase in my business where I need to read more. Like, I don't need more information right now. Right. Like, and so it's like, why expose myself to it? So I'm doing that with my email too. And I'm doing that with, like, I don't spend that much time online anymore, like on the socials, but like if I'm in a Facebook group, for example, and this is something that new people are typically guilty of, they're a member of 50 Facebook advertising groups or whatever your topic is. And they're sitting there trying to listen to this audience of people, and you have no idea who they are, their experience level, whether you should listen to them or not. It's like, cut it all out. Hire one good mentor. Just do what that person says, or just follow one mentor. Like, you know, and just, and put your head down for 6 months and see what happens.
I mean, the
so many
that
people
comes
break
with it.
Yeah, it's like, the peak, but it's also like you miss stuff when you're so busy that you can't identify what's broken and what's working.
That
all the time, right? It's
like,
just,
and being constantly in touch with this. Like, I actually quite literally just turned off notifications from a couple of Facebook groups. I was like, this is actually causing noise and actually making me feel uncertain about my ability, and that drop in uncertainty is enough to tip the scales against me actually serving people.
Totally.
And I was like, this is a no. I'm not doing this to myself. This is out of integrity with my core, with my truth, with me feeling in my power.
Yep.
And like late last year, and I think I've shared this with you before, Christy and I really love the word simple. Just simplicity, because there's peace that comes with simplicity. And you've said simplicity a couple of times. And I think I told you what I made simple mean.
Mm-mm.
And for me right now, the big focus is in terms like just helping people, and also obviously making sure that we're doing it ourselves, just have simple businesses, simple lives, because there's so much complexity out there, and we made it mean scalable, integrous, miraculous, which is where you kind of like, it's like, holy shit, it's working. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Profitable, leveraged, and exciting.
Yeah.
Because, and that everything for us is put through that filter. Does this make sense in terms of the filter, or is it actually creating chaos in our life?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a lens like that you're looking through at the moment? Is it, what will my kids think of me? Will this form disconnection with my wife? Like, is there something that is a non-negotiable boundary that you filter things through now?
Well, so I kind of have two lenses, if you will. That's a good word. The one for business is much easier. Because the business stuff, like, I'm not in love with my business enough to wrap my identity into it anymore. Like, the business itself, I could care less about, to be honest. It's a vehicle for me, right? And it just so happens that I enjoy helping people, you know, get clarity, find success, run blueprints that I found to work, run frameworks that I've used that have worked for us, et cetera, right? But in and of itself, I am not one of those people who thinks I'll be missed if I stopped working today. Like, I think the market would be fine without me. And actually, I know it would be, right? And that level of like ego drop has been, again, just a weight off my shoulders. Like, I don't have to be this public guy, you know, that other people are like, why aren't you at these events? Why don't you go speak at blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Right. And so And in fact, that does a lot of times that takes away from what I feel like is my zone of genius, and it makes me feel insecure or doubtful or like whatever. Like it brings about a lot of stuff that it's not that I don't want to face it, but I faced that before. And it's at a certain point when there's hundreds or thousands of other people telling you your opinion of what you should be, somewhere along the way, it's going to resonate, and you're going to, for like an unknown reason, and you're just going to go, yeah, maybe I should do that. But it doesn't make any sense for what you want and who you want to be, right? Or who I want to be, if you really think about it. So I'm trying to focus my cognitive load on figuring out what I want, right? Spending more time doing that, because I just neglected to do that for years, years and years and years and years. And the more that I get clarity on what I want and how I want it to look, the more people I help, the more money I make, the more money they make, the less chaos there is in my life, as far as the business goes. So I've gotten pretty good at that. And I think that I'm in a place now where I'm helping other people navigate through that themselves, right? How do they get closer to what they want without blowing themselves up or without adding chaos, right? Like it's very similar. We're in it, like in at a certain phase of business, that's like the most important thing you can be getting good at, like once you're a little more established, right? And it probably sounds crazy to people who are just getting started. That's just how it works. Just, you know. So, but on the personal life front, I have a very different set of parameters. Like I told you this in our text message, but I still have issues around feeling like I'm a good father and a good husband. Like, if there's one thing that the voice inside my head is loudest about, it's stuff like that. And so that's the area that I have the most work to do. I need to work that muscle more on those kinds of things. Like in the business stuff, I just put in so much time and been through enough to where I feel like I understand the mechanics of it, right? Business stuff is largely mechanical after a little while. But the personal stuff, I feel like I'm a little bit behind on for like my age and life, put it that way, because I just shut it down for so long, for like decades. I just didn't address it, you know? So what does that mean? Well, the lens that I look at it through is, well, I throw around the word good dad and good husband, but like, let's be specific, Rob. What does that mean? And to whom? And oftentimes it comes back as, well, the most obvious one is the negative self-talk, right? The voice inside my head. The other part of it is, like I'm navigating this dynamic where my kids have a childhood that I didn't have, and I'm very happy for them, but I also know how much I learned from having a more challenging childhood. And so, like, I remember Tom Brady said like, the hardest part about being a parent is my kids will never know how to not be mega rich and mega famous. Like, can't undo that. So here we are. And that wasn't Tom's upbringing. So he's got a challenge. And the challenge is, how do you normalize a kid like that? I'm not saying that I'm anywhere near Tom Brady, by the way. That's not the analogy. But I grew up super poor, single parent household. My dad died when I was 25. And I kind of had like a ton of regret around that, because I was constantly saying, oh, I'll reconnect with my dad one day. And then I just woke up and he was in an accident. And he was just gone one day, right? So I had a lot of regret around that. And I think I still to this day think that regret is the worst thing in life. Like, and that has driven a lot of like good positive decisions, especially around being a parent. So there's times where I struggle. It's like, oh, should I keep my kids in school? Because they like school and everybody's telling us to go to school and like school's important and blah, 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 blah. Or be like, YOLO, dude, I don't want to regret my 10-year-old seeing, Yosemite National Park for the first time, or it just experiences that you can have. That's the thing that money provides, right? Is, hey, we can just go and do that thing and like experience
Have you ever
that
thought of
awesome
RV
thing.
life?
You know, I have, I love that kind of stuff. My wife is a different story. She's like, don't want to camp, don't want to RV, like you go for it. So sometimes we divide and conquer, which is totally fine. I've taken my boys camping, I've taken my boys, to see like an NFL game and stuff like that, and they just love that stuff. My two boys are the oldest of the two, three kids, but the thing that so that's the balance that I'm like looking for is like what's gonna give them a good experience that also teaches them some things and makes it so that like I think I used to want to be like the dad whose kids went to them for everything and I had all the answers and that made me feel good. But I don't have all the answers. Like I'm not, there's very few things that I have the answers for. Like they ask about a million things a day, and most of the times my answer is I don't know. But the dot dot of that is now, right? This is the lens I'm choosing to look at through. It's like I don't know, but let's do it together, or let's find out together, or let's learn that together, right? And try to turn that into a memory with them. And so sometimes those are hard things,
I want to ask you a question
but yeah.
along these lines. And I know that we're coming up to like an hour and a half on this. This is amazing.
Woohoo! Yeah, I'm proud of
And
us.
I just want to ask a couple of questions along the lines of like who you believe you are to be. Okay. So my question here is, whose opinion of you matters to you?
Like, if I had to choose one person?
Was no container there.
Yeah,
You can
okay.
answer how you want.
Who's opinion? I mean, myself. And I think it's I'm by far the hardest on myself. Like I do, there is a good, I don't want people to think that I'm just like all dark. Because there is like a dark side. But I also recognize that like all the good things that I've done have been pretty fucking awesome too, So it's not all bad, but when I like sometimes I walk around and I wonder if other people have have had this same good experiences as me, and I think I've had a lot of good experiences in my life too, like a lot, like probably more than the average person. So I feel lucky, right? And I feel like I'm pretty good at identifying those moments too. So I feel like that part of myself, I'm like honing it and getting better at like recognizing as I get older here on this journey. So my opinion of me is probably the one that holds the most weight. I'm not talking about an ego in that context, but
Understood.
it's just the, if I think about the thoughts that are in my own head and I'm like sitting there, close my eyes, like what thoughts am I thinking? And this time last year, I would not have said that. I don't think at all. Like
That's
it's
exactly where I was about to
yes.
go. So I love that you said that because it would have been my wife, my clients, my customers, anyone around me, society, the people that go high level, like it would have been like, and it would have been quite noisy. And for you to be able to bring that back to yourself, like now, I have a question for you. When like, and this will be one of the final questions that we address here. And dang, like we should do this once a month. Like this has been amazing. This has been absolutely incredible.
I'm happy to
So
if you,
that'll be incredible.
good.
So in terms of you, like 10 years from now, Rob's gone out there. He's really connected with his inner child and inner spirit, and he's living life how he wants, how he's called to live his life. I want you to like tell us and what it would be like for you to speak to your future self now. What would your future self, who is already connected with you, he's already done it, he's already achieved it, he's already become it. What would he say to you right now that you most need to hear?
That's a good one. I think that I think if I was to talk to myself, so when you say that, I think about myself still being me, but almost the same, like, what do I say to myself? As like, I feel like by then I'll look back at my 45-year-old self and it will be like speaking to a child in some ways. Still, I don't know why, if that's accurate or like how I'll feel. But I think I would tell myself to keep exploring this idea of myself further. Like, I think that in many ways, my life feels like it's just beginning. And being so, when I was down in Cancun, the guy who runs the place, he's great. His name's Tom. Tom said to me, oh, I asked him this question. I said, hey, I know you talk to a lot of addicts. There's probably like a dozen a week that kind of go through this place, which isn't that many, but he's there, he's present, he gets to know them, he knows all their names, he knows their stories, like all this stuff. He's a great guy. Used to be an addict himself, and he's done incredibly well in business before he started this place. Business stuff. Well, he does get the business stuff too, like you and I. Like, he immediately was like, dude, I know exactly where you're at. Like, exactly where you're at. I said, hey, do you think that once I go home and I do the integration plan and that, I get back on my feet and I've got a good sense of this thing, what do you think about, like, if I have a drink at dinner on Thanksgiving, like a glass of wine or whatever? And he said, you know what? I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody else. I just want to be fully present for the rest of this ride every day, fully present. He's like, so to me, that means something, but to you, that might mean something else. So that's your answer. So, like, he didn't really answer it directly, but when I, and I didn't really understand what he was sort of saying at that moment, I was like, oh, he's kind of like telling me you shouldn't have a drink at all without telling me you shouldn't have a drink at all. So that's what I thought while I was sitting there. But once I got home and I was home for a couple months, this, like, this peace and this clarity sort of washed over me, where little, like, I'm gonna cry now, but little things started to bring me more joy. So, like, my daughter would whisper things, like at nighttime when I was putting her to bed, and I would hear them. And they were like some of the sweetest things she's ever said to me. And before, I just wouldn't notice it. And I don't know if that's directly because of the alcohol or not, but now I'm like noticing more of those things, right? And I think, like, if I continue to explore and continue to work on myself this way, hopefully more good things like that. Like, I'll notice more good things as they're happening in my life. I don't know what my life's going to look like in 10 years, but man, I'll take that. I've already got enough good things. They've always been around me. I just, it's sad to me, I guess, that especially those past few years that I just didn't like, I was so hard on myself that I didn't allow myself to enjoy those moments. Like, that's just one example, but fuck, that's a big one. Can't get those moments back. Like, I always tell people, someone said this to me, they're like, yeah, like, one day your daughter is gonna ask you to come and play in her room for the last time. And then those days are gone. She's our youngest, And my 10-year-old is already, like, he's still real sweet, but teenage years are right around the corner. And all this stuff changes big time, right? So I think that's, like, there's a part of me that's like, okay, I don't want to walk around saying, hey, Rob, I'm an addict, I can't have a drink. That's not what I want to walk around saying to myself. It's the opposite direction. It's, there's more upside to be had. and there's more good things, and there's more being present, there's more joy, there's more fun, there's more good things. And it's not like you have to add more, you just have to be able to recognize them, I think, and get better at recognizing them and creating space and time for yourself to do that, and they'll happen, right? So I hope that comes true in 10 years. If that, like, I'll be very happy if that comes true in 10 years. I don't know what my life will look like by then, but, you know, that, of course, it has nothing to do with money, which is what we all initially set out to do when we started business. Oh, money will solve that. It's like, dude, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's like not even, you know, Biggie was right. More money, more problems, right? It's like,
dude, what I'm hearing from this, and I look at, firstly, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you for showing us your heart. And thank you for being vulnerable. And what you are sharing there is the magic moment. The magic moment of connection that you've allowed yourself by healing yourself and connecting to yourself enough without the noise of alcohol, the noise of all the other things, or at least that's how I'm filtering what you're saying. And I just wanted to just say, well, firstly, again, thank you for showing us your rawness. And also just thank you for becoming this. Like, I'm excited to see you 10 years from now and like show this video to you, if videos are still a thing in 10 years from now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this is, you know, what, like, I have to thank you because, in the light of what I just said, like, you know, you've created time and space for me that allowed me to come and record this so that we can do that later. Right. And, you know, it's hard to stop what you're doing to make time and space for things. It's, there's a reason why most people put things off, or it's hard to find time to play or whatever. It's like, it's difficult. It takes work to make that space. So I have to thank you for that. And this isn't the first time you've helped me, you know, create that space. So got to thank you. You've been a great friend.
Likewise, dude, you've been amazing. I love you very, very, very much. And I love to be able to, like, there are on my iPhone, you know how you can pin people on the circle. You're one of my circles.
Yes, and thank you.
The people that are the circles, they're the ones that I think about the most. I'm sending as much positive energy to as humanly possible, and I just love you. So,
dude, how lucky am I? Gosh,
you're one of Liz Benny's circles.
No, I'm serious. Serious. It's like you're halfway around the world. Like, what? You know, to what do I owe that honor? That's wild, man. Life is crazy, y'all.
Isn't it just? Hey, so my next interview guest is about to knock on the door. And he's in Montana. Ooh. So you're in the south, he's up in Montana, and he's about to go on the door. Right.
Is it Joe? Is it Joe Rare?
This one is George Bryant.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Joe, who lives in Montana too, but go ahead. Sorry.
Nice. Maybe I should interview him as well. So, but before that, and without rushing, with full presence, because that would be amazing. Can you please speak to your heart for the person who is listening right now? Just speak from your heart to the person who has lost some hope in themselves, their abilities, in life, potentially. And speak to them with whatever you know and you feel that you need to say to them.
Sure. I think to have as much brevity as possible, you know, like a lot of these cliche terms that we throw around are actually true. If you think about them in the right context, one of them being life is not happening to you, it's happening for you, right? And one of the things that I got to witness was in Cancun was people had gnarly, I'm talking about gnarly withdrawals, heavily addicted to opioids. I mean, the amount that they had to take just to feel normal was, could kill a horse on a daily basis. It was unreal. Like, And I don't know what I pictured about hanging out with a bunch of addicts, but it wasn't what I actually experienced. And these are people who walked in and I saw at like, you know, at, on different days, there was different people coming and leaving. Every person that came in felt like this was the last straw, right? Their last chance to do something about this. And they felt like they were worthless. They felt like fuck ups. They didn't like stealing money from their grandmother to get their fix. They didn't like, you know, one guy had a roofing, two of the guys had a roofing business, and they didn't like sneaking off while their employees did the work to, you know, get their stuff or use their stuff or whatever. And these are like functioning people, y'all. These are not like, they all had jobs. They were not like junky, low life folks, but they were doing these things. And the day after they got treated, they would, they were like, I literally feel like myself again. Right. And so like, what does that mean? It means that like this thing that that was happening to them, like, I don't want to say it wasn't their fault, but there was like a person in there. Right. And that person, if you think about it like this, if you want to think logically about it, we all have a computer. That's our brain. And their hard drive was so full of crap that the operating system couldn't run properly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they come in, they get the hard drive serviced, they, you know, defrag it, wipe the hard drive clean, whatever analogy you want to make. The next time you restart the computer, it's running faster, it's running better, it's running clear. All the programs start and close, you know, it's like everything's working again. And so that weird mechanic, like seeing somebody come in and be like, in 2 days, you're going to be a different person is wild. And so not only did I experience that, but I saw these people experience that. And I think that contrast just taught me that this is this like it, the experience is up to us, right? So what does losing hope mean? It means that you can't see an experience better than this shitty low point in your life right now, right? So you have no hope. When really that's just, you know, that's the attitude, not the attitude, but the outlook, the frame, this life is happening to me. I can't do anything about it, right? Well, like you can. And your brain is just as human as anyone else's. And you can be, you can have the work done on it, on your system, so to speak, to get your old self back again, right? And I'm not talking like if you've never touched alcohol or drugs, the same thing applies. Like, you know, if you have no hope for whatever reason, like, you know, if you got sued in business, which happens, it's happened to me. If you lost your business, if, you know, your fiance dumped you, whatever the case may be, like there's a better version of yourself and a better version of the experience, but it takes work to craft it. It's not like when you let life happen to you, then that's the story that you write. Right. If you allow that story to be written and that's what you believe, then that's what you're going to experience. Right. With the reality of it is like string theory is the closest thing that I can describe to like, if you study all this weird science crap, string theory says that there's a parallel universe that's happening right here, right now. Like time is not a thing. And in string theory, you have a possible world where good things are happening to you right now. And all you have to do is adjust your frequency. And all that means is that your brain has to be operating at a, in a different wavelengths than it is right now. And all that means in layman's terms, that sounds too woo-woo for you, is your brain needs to program a new story into its head, into itself.
That.
Yeah. And that's no bullshit. I swear to God, that's the actual truth, right? Like I've seen it with my own eyes. I've done it.
Dude,
that's just how it works.
This is exactly how it works. And for all of the elite entrepreneurs that we have the good fortune of hanging out with, the majority of them have done some form of reprogramming of the inner story to up the frequency, to live in and jump into that alternate version of how life can feel. Dude, thank you so much for being here today, tonight, this morning, whatever time it is for whoever is listening and watching this right now. I love you very deeply. You are incredible.
I love you.
You are amazing. Thank you so much for being in my world. And thank you so much for showing up as the rawest version of you.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other Fs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.